Welcome back to the Red Seat Podcast. This is episode 106, and this is your host, Jake Devereaux. Today I am joined by both Brian Joyner and Matt Collins of Over the Monster for the first podcast we've had in like almost a month here. So guys, welcome back. Spring training is here. We have real baseball coming up tomorrow, I think. So yeah, it's interesting. Well, kind of real baseball.
I was going to say, that's not real baseball.
Yeah. Got to put a caveat on that.
Something resembling real baseball.
When's the Sox game against Northeastern? That's going to be coming up soon, right?
Friday.
Okay. So we're on the precipice here. We're getting close. Not much has changed, though, since the last time we talked, 28th. Not a whole lot of free agent movement. We obviously had the huge bomb drop that we will talk about later in the show. But as far as the Red Sox go, spring training storylines are the same storylines we've been talking about together as a group for the entire offseason. So let's start with the first one here. Which catcher will they trade? Have either of you guys gained any clarity with this situation as to who you think the team is leaning more towards? We'll start with you, Matt. You wrote an article about this pretty recently.
I think it's going to be Swihart. There were a couple reports that have come out in the last week or two, I guess. I can't tell time anymore. I don't know when anything happened. But at some point recently, Sean McAdam reported that they didn't want to trade Sandy Leon and Alex Speer. I don't know if he was really reporting it, but he kind of just heavily inferred that they didn't really want to trade Vasquez. So obviously those are two different reports. They could have been hearing from two different people, but I mean, that obviously leaves Swihart as the odd man out. And like you said, we've talked about this a bunch. It just makes sense. I think where they are right now with the rest of the lineup they have, I think they just want the best defense possible behind the plate. I think they want Leon to be there so guys like Sale and Porcello are comfortable, and I think they want Vasquez as their long-term guy for the defense. I think they believe he's better offensively than he showed last year. It's hard to be worse, but I think they feel anything they get from the catcher position is a bonus, because if they really cared, they would have probably went for like a grand dollar or something like that. So I think it's all about defense and Swihart. If you talk about defense, Swihart's obviously the odd man out.
Yeah, I think you're right. Brian, do you feel the same way?
I mean, sort of, but I don't understand why any of this means that they're necessarily looking to trade Swihart, because this is the exact – look, if we could look back on 2018 and apply the lessons of 2018 to it, this is what people might say. They might say we trust in Sandy Leon's defense, and we trust in Christian Vasquez as some sort of stabilizer, and maybe no one would believe it because they hadn't won the World Series in dominating fashion yet. But at the same time, they did that, and it eventually paid dividends to have Blake Swihart on the roster. I don't know. Is there something I'm missing that indicates that something like this is certain to happen? Because otherwise, I've been operating under the assumption they're just going to run this back.
They don't have room. They don't have Pierce last year, I believe it's the difference. I suppose they had Hanley. What was the difference? They just don't, unless somebody gets hurt, they don't have an extra bench spot for another catcher this year.
I'm pretty sure there was some public comment about how this was unsustainable.
Yeah, Dombrowski has said that, I mean, he's all but said it's definitely going to happen. I mean, the writing's on the wall.
In that case, Matt's right. It's definitely going to be Swihart. Because certainly, if nothing else, whatever value the Red Sox have on Leon and Vasquez is a proprietary value. Swihart's value, at least potential, is something that you can sell to other teams. I feel like it would be very difficult to sell the value of Leon and Vasquez to other teams.
I like that you said that, Brian, that the value that they have for those guys is proprietary. And I think that that's an interesting point that maybe we haven't talked about enough this offseason when we've talked about these two catchers and why Dombrowski is so adamant with, you know, going with these defense-first catchers outside of Blake Swihart. It's been, you know, confounding to me, obviously, throughout this entire time that it's been happening. But there was a recent article Baseball Prospectus that I read about how teams have really picked up on the skill of pitch framing and how the gap that used to exist between really good pitch framers and really bad pitch framers has gotten smaller over that period of time. And they mentioned in that article that the one last thing that they haven't really been able to quantify, at least publicly, is how well catchers call games. And I wonder if the Red Sox have privately quantified that to some degree that we're not aware of, and that is the big separator between Vasquez and Leon and Blake Swihart. Because they, you know, all the pitchers that have talked about this stuff throughout the entire time they've been here, the Porcellos and the Sales and stuff like that, that is what they talk about when they talk about these guys, is how well they handle the staff in terms of calling the game. So I wonder if that separator is the end all be all for Dombrowski for what he's looking for from that position.
No, I'm going to jump in here just because Matt knows that I have told him that I have written a really long thing, and that was like a month ago. I was ready to publish, and it didn't happen. But it's all about this. It's all about the catchers, because I've thought about this a lot, and my general conclusion has been that as the window into what we do and do not know about what happens in a baseball team, what X and Y is worth, and quantifying everything. The thing that we are least likely to know about, in my opinion, and it's sort of working backward from this scenario to come to this conclusion, is something like catcher, someone who is touching the ball all the time and is heavily involved in the game plan. And if anybody can do something beyond what is represented in their numbers, you would suspect it would be them. So my point is not that I necessarily believe that that's true, but I don't think that the Red Sox are lying to us when they say that they like these people for this system. And after last year, it's hard not to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I think all signs point to that probably being correct there. So I think we're on the same page with that.
I will say, just, I don't know what their plan is in terms of a timetable. I think the smartest move would be wait as long as possible. Just because, I mean, you don't want to trade Swihart and then have like Vasquez go down for like 4 months a week later. So, if I was them, I would try to wait towards the end of spring training. Obviously, if you get a trade that you really like, I guess you have to pull the trigger, but I really don't know how much value Swihart has, so I don't think they're going to get anything that really bowls them over before that.
Yeah, but Matt, I also get the sense that, like, given what they've said, and I think they like Swihart just in general. They've kept him this long. In that case, I think they'd even prefer a different catcher that they could get, who they can rely on to be a catcher, because that seems to be the crux of the issue.
Like Juan Centeno.
Yeah, I mean, he's the third catcher now.
So.
Assuming one of these guys are gone, but
I just, in my head, the moment someone suggests Swihart going to the Mets, I just feel like that's happening. I'm just waiting until it happens.
so the thing that people have been talking about with Swihart too is that the return, I can't remember who floated this, I think it was Dombrowski as well. Someone said something about starting pitching coming back for.
That was a Sean McAdam report that made no sense. But yeah, apparently they're looking for a starting pitching depth, which I don't really understand.
So there's no way you're getting quality
That's what I mean.
starting pitcher depth for Blake Swihart.
No, not. I mean, obviously, if they add other things, it changes. But yeah, Swihart straight up, you're
Yeah.
getting like a fringe 40-man reliever or like a guy in low A that throws 98 but has no idea where it's going, and his secondaries are incredibly raw.
I mean, at that point, at this point, that sounds attractive for him, which we
Yeah.
just talked about. Like, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like they're probably going to add something to him, like a prospect. Like, they have like 45 third base prospects, like high A or lower. I feel like they're going to throw one of those guys in to get something that they really want.
They also have a lot of relief prospects as well, who are getting dangerously close to being ready. So, you know, maybe they'll trade Bobby Pointer. Who knows?
Oh, God.
Jake, are you just seeing
That
if
was
I'm paying
mean.
attention? Because I'm still here.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Still a rookie. Still a rookie.
That's the Brian check.
Let me ask you a question. Given their seeming contentness with the state of their bullpen, do you think Pointer gets more run this year? Do you think they're planning to have him at least pitch, like, I don't know, 40 innings?
I
I don't think they have
personally,
a plan for anybody.
yeah, I don't know.
I kind of think their last spot or two is going to be like
Well, they have general
rotating
plans.
and.
I know Brazier is pitching, you know.
No. I mean, for like among like the Brewers and the Pointers and all those guys, I think they're just Pointer might be higher up in the rotation, but they're just going to keep giving guys a shot until somebody takes it.
Matt, don't ever put Pointer in a group with other people. He's
I'm
my
so sorry.
special boy.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he got 40 innings this year. I think
Yeah,
that
I
sounds like a
realized when I
lot.
said 40, that's way too high.
I don't think it's impossible.
Well, I
It's
don't
not
think it's
impossible. It's
impossible.
not
It's just
impossible
out of
if
that
he
group of guys, I like Colton Brewer the best. I like Travis Lekins the second best. And the Brewer liking that I have for him is just purely based on them thinking enough of his stuff to go out and acquire him and reports I've heard about some of his pitches. So, you know, that's purely speculative.
This is sort of what I'm getting to, talking about the catchers too, is that everybody knows so much about what's happening that, like, I don't blame you, and I did it myself, like being deductive about just looking at what they do and just working back. Is it okay? Why did they do X, Y, and Z? They are smarter than me, and they signed this guy. I've heard good things about this guy. I'm just gonna jump in on that. That makes sense to me, you know?
Elementary, really, right?
Yes, my dear Yakub.
So,
Little Sherlock Holmes references, guys. So.
unput reference.
Yeah, we're going with a little bit. So let's move on here to extension talk. This offseason basically confirmed what we were all kind of worried was going to happen when we
The
talked at the
Patriots
very end of
winning
the
the Super
season.
Bowl, making you look like a fool for doubting them.
Yes, so I did doubt the Patriots. They did win the Super
Sorry, I
Bowl.
had to.
That's awesome. So we have that on air here for everybody to hear. But
And I'll never mention it again.
the off season did unfold pretty much like we were afraid it was going to, with the historic free agent class languishing until what? When did Manny sign? 2 days ago, the 18th. 218 until he's signed. Harper is still a free agent. And reports were that Xander was open to an extension. Sale is open to an extension. Mookie still hasn't said he's open to an extension. But, like, this is interesting because, and I was chatting with one of our listeners on Twitter about this after the Machado signing. Like, where does this leave Xander? So, does he think now that, is he more afraid that he's not going to get the contract he thinks he's going to after looking at the market for the last 2 years? Or does he take some solace in what happened to Manny Machado that, no, I'm closer to that class of player, so when I get out on the market, things are going to be okay with me. Because I've heard, you know, differing people on Twitter saying, oh, this is proof that the system is not broken. But in my mind, the system is still very broken, because guys like this have to wait until, you know, the end of February to start signing, whereas these types of guys were signing in November 6 years ago. So where do you guys fall on this, and are these guys more open to extensions now or not?
Depends on the player. On that second question, I think I really don't know what I would be thinking if I was Bogaerts. Even the Machado deal, I mean, it's obviously good money, and it's not really a bad deal for him, but I mean, that's not like crazy money. Like, we thought he was probably going to get more than that. I think if you asked like in the middle of last summer, I think we probably would have taken the over on 300. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just, if I was Bogaerts, I wouldn't take an extension, because I think what he did last year was mostly real, but it was still only 1 year. And you're not going to get that huge payday, not on the open market, off of 1 year like that. So I feel like they probably are going to talk. I think they're going to be really far apart. I really don't see an extension happening for them. Sale, I think, is very open to an extension. I would be kind of surprised if it doesn't happen before the start of the season. And Mookie, I don't see him signing extension. I don't think he has anything against the Red Sox. I think he had an interview the other day talking about this stuff, and he mentioned that he's not just in it for himself. He's in it for future players. He's in it to kind of set the market and make sure the market isn't going down. So I really don't see him sign an extension. I think he's going to hit the open market. He's going to take as much money as he possibly can, because and he's shown it with arbitration. He showed it with not signing the pre-arb deal. That was just a symbolic gesture. He's into this kind of labor stuff, and I don't really blame him for it, but I still expect him to be the Red Sox long term. I don't think it's going to happen before he hits free agency.
It's interesting to me that you think that Sale is going to take the extension, and that I think what's more interesting to me is that you think the team is going to offer him one. I'm sort of on the fence about that, and I'm not sure if I would like that as a fan of the team. As good as Chris Sale has been, he either is 30 or is about to turn 30, has consistently broken down in the second half of the season. And while we all agree, like, when he's actually playing and he's healthy, he's the best pitcher maybe in all of baseball.
You just said it. When he's healthy, he's the best pitcher in baseball. The end.
I mean, I get where you're coming from, Jake. I don't know where else they're getting this. Like, I don't know where they would go with the rotation without Sale.
Because if they didn't get him, you want to get someone to replace him. Like, he wants to just win World Series and be a dominant asshole. Sign him to do that. That's all we want to do here.
Yeah, but what if you sign him and what happens is his shoulder just gives out? I mean, there's evidence that that is happening right now.
Yeah, then you signed a bad contract. Oh, well, that happens all the fucking time, and you still win World Series once every 3 to 4 years.
Does this actually – let me ask you this. If he does sign an extension, how long do you think it's going to be? Because I think if the team gives him more than, like, 3 years, they're out of their friggin' minds.
I would say that, first of all, you have every – literally, I think now is the time where we have to start thinking about strike time and when we think these people are going to actually play. Is that fair?
I don't know if I believe a strike's happening.
Okay, but I think that possible strike time.
I would agree that that's a possibility.
So I think that, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Just sign Chrisell, man. I'm sorry.
So, what
I
does a
mean,
good extension look like to you guys?
I have no idea. I haven't really thought about it.
Because David Price just got 7 years when he was a free agent.
Okay, 3 years, 90 million.
Oh, it's gonna be longer than that. It's gonna be at least 5 years.
But here's the thing, is it?
Yeah, I think so. Because
What
he doesn't have to
contract?
sign anything right now.
Okay.
Like, I don't, I mean, maybe he really
So
wants to stick
okay,
around
so then
and he'll
split the
sign something
difference.
longer.
I'm not saying that you're wrong, you're probably right, but just split the difference between our initial things and say 4 years, 140.
I wouldn't do that.
But does that sound right?
I think it's longer with a lower AAV.
4 years, 150.
I think it's like 5 years
5 years, 150. I'm sorry.
at like a little less than 550 or 150.
5 years at
I don't know, I
140.
think like 28-ish per year. Maybe that's low. I don't know. I hate this stuff. I've talked about this before. I hate predicting this stuff.
Does
I
that make you
think
feel
that I,
good?
if I don't think about it too long, yeah. If I just think about Chris Sale staying with the Red Sox, yeah, it makes me feel pretty fucking good.
Yeah, are you thinking
But
about
yeah, no,
this
I mean,
year?
I get that risk, and like, I guess it's hard to really, if it did happen, it would be hard for me to really argue against it because they have so much more information on the medicals than me, and they know a lot more about what's going on with the shoulder than I do. It wouldn't mean that I wouldn't be scared that something bad's gonna happen with that shoulder, but at the same time, I mean, I don't, they've never really been a team that takes major risks like that with pitchers.
Okay, but I just want to push back on this just a little bit. They are an organization, like, look, there are like eight organizations in baseball where the entire focus of the season is not to make the playoffs, it's to win the World Series, and everything, if not is planned directly toward that direction, is planned most of the way toward that direction, meaning that, you need to take into account the value of marginal talent in the postseason. And because getting to the postseason is the name of the game, the one thing I think with Sale is that as long as he is pitching, he is going to provide that marginal talent. So that no matter where he ends up, it's going to be a team with title aspirations. That's my guess.
Yeah, I don't know, I mean, part of me wants to just say, I mean, a big part of me just wants to say, obviously you sign him for whatever because you're the Red Sox and you have all the money in the world, and if it doesn't work, it's whatever, you can eat that cost.
But you're using that on Kimbrel justifiably.
Well, there's the way they should be spending money
Do
and
you
the
think they're going to
way
sign Kimbrel?
I still kind of do,
I
but
feel like it could be a JD type thing where it's just nothing is happening because everyone who is not public knows it's going to happen. So I'm with you. I think it could.
yeah, I feel like it probably should have happened by now though, so I don't, I'm less confident every day, but I don't know, it's annoying.
So my issue is this with the idea of locking up Chris Sale, and I think there's no way that he takes shorter than a 5-year extension if he does end up signing, because he's Chris Sale, and what he's done over the past 6 years of his career has put him in that stratosphere of pitchers, and guys like David Price got paid, so why shouldn't he? And I know he doesn't vocalize that and doesn't quite think like that, but I think he does care about getting honored by his paycheck. But every dollar that you pay to Chris Sale is a dollar that you could have given to Xander and Mookie. And I know that we talk about the Red Sox, rightfully so, on here, like they have limitless money and they should be able to spend whatever they want. But we know that the way that they actually think about spending is not that way. They're looking at this 246 number, and even when you talk about adding Kimbrel for 1 year at, slightly more than what the qualifying offer was. So, let's say that they give him
I
$20
didn't say
million
anything
for a
about
year.
that. You're adding that
No, I mean,
argumentative.
but the, he rejected the
Sustained,
qualifying
overruled.
offer of 17 million. But let's just say they offered him a year at 20. With the tax penalties, that's like another 9 million on top of that. And it's very clear that the team is shying away from that. So the way that they look at this is not as, we have limitless money and we have this window. They're looking at these thresholds and they're using them as hard caps. So that's why I'm hesitant to give that money to Sale when that could be in a guy who's much more stable in Xander or Mookie.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. I got
Yeah,
no beef with that.
it's fair. I mean, they do have money coming off next year with Porcello and Sandoval, so you can make it work, but I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to watch, but it makes this year all the more important, and it makes the Kimbrel thing all the more frustrating that they're not signing him the year that they have Sale, Bogey, Betts, I mean Bradley, all these guys locked up, because these guys aren't all gonna be here next year. So, I mean, why would you not sign Kimbrel? So I guess let's get into the bullpen here. Man, I don't want to talk about the
I don't either.
bullpen.
None of us do.
Yeah, I just can't do it anymore. Like, what do we say about this thing? They get.
It is
Well,
what it
until
is.
Kimbrel signs or does not sign, you can't say anything, honestly.
I mean, there's no reason that they should not sign Kimbrel. It is absurd to me that they are not signing Kimbrel at this point. You waited on every other good option that's out
But
there,
Jake,
and now they're
here's my
not signing
thing.
Kimbrel.
My only thing is that I feel like the one thing we ever our criticisms of what is happening now are all valid. Okay? But my feeling is that in some cases, these guys know where they're going to sign and are just like, no, I'm just going to wait because I don't want to go to wherever. Or I just have my reasons. I feel like for the same reason that JD and the Red Sox took as long as it did, maybe Kimbrel and the Red Sox do. They both know it's going to happen. I'll be worried about it in mid-March.
The
I
issue with
won't be.
that is, I mean, you see, we've been seeing this like for the last few years where guys are signing so late, like Lance Lynn, Alex Cobb, all these guys, they get into camp halfway through and they are garbage for the first
No,
half of
but
the
they're
year.
pitchers. Pitchers. That's a
Yeah.
difference.
But Kimbrel's
Kimbrel's
a
a pitcher.
pitcher.
Okay, but he's a closer. And Kimbrel, I
I
mean,
don't think it's a difference. I mean, we've seen it with everybody. We've seen it with Neil
I
Walker,
think
we've seen Arden.
Kimbrel is a different animal than pitcher.
But one of the things that they talked about with Kimbrel last year is that he missed all that time early in the year
Yeah.
because of issues with his daughter, and his command was not Kimbrel command last year. His command was shit for most of the season.
Yeah, and I think that played a role in it. And I mean, I think if that played a role, then it's obviously not going to help missing camp time this year. I think it's crazy. If that is
Oh
what they're doing,
no.
and I don't think it's impossible, that it's insane. Just up your offer and get him in now, because I mean, what is going to happen is wherever he signs, he's going to sign like a week or two into March. He's
But
going to
Matt,
be
here's my
awful
thing.
for
Why do you
6 weeks,
think
and
it's like they
everybody's going
need
to
to
use that
up
to
their
death.
offer? Like, what do you, we have no information at all. It's not
I'm
like.
saying if that's what they're doing, if they're kind of like waiting it out, then I mean, you just got to get them in now. It's
Right,
worth
but
the
well, the
extra
thing is, we don't
million.
have any idea. It's pure
I
speculation.
know. I know. I'm talking in the hypothetical. I have no idea if that's what's happening or not. I'm just saying if that is what's happening, it's dumb, and that isn't how they should be approaching it.
I just don't get how you look at a 10-spot draft penalty and an extra $9 million on top of everything and say that's worth uncertainty at the back end of the bullpen on a team that just won the World Series. That to me is just spitting in the face of your fans right there. I have no fucking clue how they do that with a conscience.
It's honestly, to me, it's not even uncertainty of the back. I mean, obviously the back could be and should be better. It's the middle innings where I'm just like, it's Hembree and Thornburg and Workman and Brewer and all these guys. It's like, you got to sign someone like Kimbrel, or they could have signed somebody else early in the offseason and push everybody back a spot or two on the depth chart. That's right. Where I'm fine. Really? Brian Frazier, I'm fine.
I'm with. Not surprised at all by that. That's like their MO during the season. That's what they do with those spaces.
I mean,
it's still not the right thing to do, though.
Okay,
right?
That's fair.
Yeah, because, like, you know, we're all going to be watching almost 162 of these games, and we are not going to be enjoying those innings where, you know, we have a 5-3 lead, and all of a sudden Brandon Workman comes in, and, you know, that happens. Or Tyler Thornburg comes in and doesn't look like Brewer
Thornburg.
I don't
know. Well, hold on. It's fair. Those guys are not bad player, and I'm not doing this just to be argumentative. Brandon Workman has thrown some innings. Tyler Thornburg has thrown some innings. Like, those guys have done some good stuff.
They're not good, though.
I wish we had my face there. I made a face when you said they're not good, though. It suggested that I perhaps did not agree.
Workman and Hembree are fine-ish. Thornburg's done nothing to tell me he's fine. I mean, maybe he comes into camp looking like he did 3 years ago in Milwaukee. But
so he has done something. It was just 3 years ago with Milwaukee.
3 years ago. I mean, Carson Smith did something 4 years ago, too. I mean, I'm not really excited about him, though.
Okay.
Thoracic outlook syndrome will screw you up a little bit, too.
By the way, I think that they probably think that Carson Smith is a potential weapon, too.
You know what?
I don't.
You know what's going to drive me nuts about this? Is this is going to end up being a problem, and we're going to talk about it for the entire first half of the season, and then they're going to trade for somebody at the deadline.
But here's the thing, Jake. You say it's going to be a problem, but my whole thing with baseball now is there's like 8 teams that are good and then 20, however many that are not. The Red Sox are going to be great no matter what. We're talking about like a marginal 5 wins.
But that could be the division.
The issue is,
there's
a huge difference between the wild card and the division.
I understand all that, but they're still going to be very good.
Sure, nobody's saying they're not.
Well, nobody yet.
Well, I mean, I haven't listened to Felger and Matt, so
yeah,
somebody's probably not. But
yeah, you can bet they're saying they're not.
Well, whose fault is that?
All right, well, let's stop talking about the bullpen here because no one wants to anymore, and let's get to some little housekeeping items about the radio broadcast team. So WEEI has announced that going along with the legendary Joe Castiglione, and he's one of my favorite voices in sports, they're going to have a rotating crew of guys that are going to be doing games with him this year. That consists of Sean McDonough, Josh Lewin, Lou Merlone, Dale Arnold, Tom Caron, Dave O'Brien, Chris Berman, and Mario Impemba, the Fighting Impemba. So, Brian, who are these guys are you excited about? Who are these guys are you not so excited about listening to games?
Well, I think the least surprising may surprise you, or the least exciting might surprise you. It's Lou Merlone. I don't really care for Lou, though I'm sure he'll be fine. Berman, I understand why they want Berman on their air. That makes perfect sense to me. They want people to listen to the radio. He's a famous person. The only thing I care about is that Castiglione is doing the game in some form. If he's not, I will probably not listen to it. I do listen. I don't even live in Massachusetts, but I listen to the games when I drive around. But I will not be inclined to stick around if the people suck. But so they better not.
Well, I have some bad news for you with Chris Berman because he's trash. I don't think he's like a
Matt,
draw. He's...
here's my thing. Chris Berman is trash, and he will be trash. But the craziest shit is like Roger Clemens comes into Nesson's booth and is straight up the best fucking color man who or the best random guy who walks in there in years, just naturally. So I just, you know, you never
I have
know what's
no
gonna
faith in
happen.
Urban doing that. Zero faith.
Roger Clemens is very, very good at it. So you never know. That's all I'm
He's also at like 60 games a year at least, between his sons and what he does for I think he's working for the Astros in some type of like special assistant role too. So that's a guy who hasn't stepped away from these games. Some of these guys, like Dale Arnold, spends more time at a hockey rink and at the WEEI studios than he does at a baseball park. I don't want to listen to him talk about the Red Sox. Tom
I
Kerrin, I'm
was
fine
really
with. Dave,
confused.
I'm fine with. Josh Lewin, I guess he's a Mets guy. Fine with
But
him.
Jake, Dale Arnold is WE is Nesson's voice, and it said he was going to be on WEEI. I don't understand that part.
Yeah, I mean, a few of these guys are that
Dave
flip back and
O'Brien?
forth.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dave O'Brien. He was on the
Yeah,
list, right?
he's going to do some of the games, like if they're playing on ESPN or something, he's going to move over there.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and I think TC does a bunch of Nesson stuff too.
Well, he's the studio guy.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, Berman's the one that really gets me. Frankly, yeah, I mean, it's garbage that he's there. I really can't stand Chris Berman, and he's not a good person either, which is really doesn't help matters. So I
You
don't
know, I was
understand how
in
he
an
can't watch
elevator
the
with
game.
Chris Berman once, and
He harass
he
you?
is huge. He's like 6'5", probably. I mean, and this was 15 years ago. He was at least 260. I mean, at least.
Do you think he's gotten taller since then?
Well,
You just had a growth spurt.
I was a little baby reporter in Queens, and I was on the field after that. And he went up to Barry Bonds, was talking to him, and it made me realize that he's a good sports figure because most athletes are so huge that they just tower over people. And he's so big that they're like not necessarily intimidating. But he was talking to Barry Bonds, and he is before Bonds broke all the home run records, but when it was clear that he was going to. And I heard Berman do this like he was imitating what he would do when he was breaking the NL home run record. And I, to this day, I'm very like that's cool because I heard that and nobody else did. And even though Berman is a piece of shit, I love Bonds.
Oh.
I won't say shit about Bonds.
Well, I'm glad they got a very tall man. I wish they got a good broadcaster, but
But here's the thing, he's not, Matt, the one thing is he's a capable broadcaster. He's just an idiot.
He's super annoying.
do you think he's gonna stay
He is, but
rumbling,
he's
bumbling,
not gonna
tumbling?
do he's gonna do so few games that
Oh
every
yeah,
game is gonna come
he's
off
not
as
even on
like
the radar.
it's all gonna be like a gimmick game. He's not gonna do enough for it to matter. The big thing we need to be talking about, I know is on Jake's list, is Eck. That's what we need to talk about.
We should talk about Ek. Ek signed on for a shitload more games.
85.
85 games for. Is that just for this year?
I would assume so.
That's great news.
85 and 30 are going to be him and Remy both in the booth.
Which is. Those are like the
Those are the
gifts
best.
from God. Those are the gifts
They
from God.
said Jason Mastrodonato of the Herald wrote up something on this, and they said they're kind of skewing towards the more important games. So I'm assuming it's going to be a lot of Red Sox Yankees games where all three of them are in the booth. And 11 of the 30 where they're all going to be together is going to be in September. So
Which is good in one way, but it's also bad in the way that those guys are really great when there's nothing to talk about. Like, when they just start riffing.
Well, hopefully the Red Sox are up by like 15 games at that point, so it won't really
matter.
Well,
sure, there's that. But the plan is to, they're trying to avoid that, which I would too if I were them. But the reality is that when those guys just start talking about whatever they want to talk about, like, it's really wonderful. It's great.
Oh, it's fantastic. This is the first good decision that's been made in a long time.
You know, they should have Pedroia do the games because he doesn't even look at the scoreboard till the eighth inning.
Honestly, that is. Look, Jake, today I watched the whole 42-minute mic'd up Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, because you watched the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl, it was great for us, but it sucked. But I watched the Super Bowl mic'd up, and it was it's NFL films. It made it look like the most important thing that's ever happened in the world. and it was wonderful. It was great. But not only because it turned something that was ugly pretty, but the complexity of every football game, they had to get into it because there was nothing else to get into. So the way people are talking. I had a point and I forgot it.
Wondering where you're going with that.
No, I had like the whole loop back, and it's gone, and it's very disappointing.
It happens, man. It happens to the best of us. It probably happened to Chris Berman a couple times on the air. So,
41 years old. I just opened a red Sprite. Red.
Right. Sprite?
A light bright. Yes, a lead. I'm fucking with a light bright.
A light bright, right? Red stripe.
Light stripe, red bright.
All right. So. Let's get to a few more things here before we get to listener questions. I want to jump back into signings. We need to talk about the Manny Machado signing a little bit. Machado signs a 10-year, $300 million deal with an opt-out after 5 years with the San Diego Padres. Good deal for him. A little bit of a surprising signing in terms of the team. A lot of people weren't quite expecting that. I think that some people, especially the casual fan, was a little bit surprised if you aren't familiar with like the Padres farm system and things like that. What were your initial impressions of the deal? Let's start with you, Matt.
It's awesome. I don't like Machado, but I very much like the Padres. And this team is, at least this lineup is going to be so much fun. Maybe not next year, but the year after that, they're going to be dope. They have the sick uniforms that they're going to be wearing more often. I love this. And they need to sign Keuchel and or throw out a monster offer for Corey Kluber or something like that. Just go bananas.
Yeah, the Dodgers have no interest.
Yeah, I mean, all they need is rotation help right now and a little bit of experience for the younger guys, but that'll come.
And realistically,
they're going to be super fun.
They could have Tatis and Luis Urias up by June if they wanted to. Both those guys are right on the precipice. So
Well, Urias is going to start the year in the majors, I'm assuming.
You think so?
He ended last year in the majors. I would assume he's starting.
I hope he does. I mean, he's only 21, so I hope he does.
I think he's
going to
be their shortstop. I think that's the plan.
Yeah, he's done with the minors. He's starting from here on out.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tatis is – I don't know how long they're going to keep him down. But, I mean, if they get off to a hot start and Kinsler isn't playing very well and it's like June 1st and Tatis is sitting in the minors, watch out. Get him up. Make a run. The Dodgers have no interest in being as good as they should be.
You know, they could keep like Mackenzie Gore, Luis Patino, some of those stud pitchers that they have in the minor leagues, and still go out and trade for an ace with the amount of other stud pitchers they have in the minor leagues.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, plus you have like Manny Margot or Hunter Renfro or Franky Cordero. I mean, they have all these outfielders they can trade. They have Austin Hedges, who could be pretty interesting to some teams because they have the best catching prospect in baseball behind them. They have so many ways they can go. I really hope they don't stop here.
I don't think Preller will. The guy's a maniac.
I don't either.
Yeah, it's good
I
to
just
see
don't know
them.
if it's going to be this year or next year, but they're going to do something else big at some point soon.
I wouldn't be overly shocked if they were a wild card team this year.
No. But I mean, anybody could be a wild card team in the National League right now. It's so crowded. But yeah, they're definitely in the mix.
Where do you guys think Harper ends up?
It's got to be Philly.
Philly or San Francisco?
I don't think it's San Francisco.
Brian, talk to me into San Francisco because that's one I haven't quite figured out as to like why he would do that. But it's certainly talked about.
Because he could live out his mid-20s to 30s in San Francisco, earning $30 million a year to pound the fuck out of baseballs. I mean, it's just a matter of who you could reasonably expect to be good enough to, like, I think he should sign with the Phillies, but it's as much as I want to be like, don't freak out if the schedule changes, just worry about who's playing when the games start. It's February 20th. There aren't, I think the Machado to the Padres thing showed that it's possible that the one or two teams you hear about are the one or two teams that are actually in on these people. So if the Giants and the Phillies are in it, and the Phillies can't get it done, that would just say the Giants to me. Why would the Giants do it? I mean, what?
That's
We've
my
talked about why
question.
wouldn't any team do it? So, I don't know. It's wild to me that it's not done. But if I'm to say where it makes the best fit beyond the Phillies, I'd based on the news, I'd say the Giants. I don't know. Matt, you talk.
I think Harper has every reason in the world to want to go to San Francisco. I mean, the Bay Area is where you want to be in the country right now if you're rich.
And his weed guys out there too, right?
Sure.
But there are
Is
weed
that a
guys
thing?
everywhere now, Jake.
I had heard that somewhere that he had his weed guy out there, but maybe it's rumor. Who knows?
Can
Absurd that
Mormons
he'd.
smoke weed?
He's a Mormon?
Yes, he
I didn't know that.
is. Utah.
Is he more man than you?
This is
I
the
mean,
worst.
yeah, hold on, Jake. Let me answer that succinctly. Yes.
I was saying anyway. This is off the rails. What the hell just happened?
Thought you were going
Wait,
straight to
so
the weed
Bryce
guy for a minute.
Harper. This is what I want to talk about. Why the fuck would a guy who's playing in Washington, D.C., like one of the richest people in sports, one of the most famous people in baseball, why is he flying across the country to buy weed? That makes no sense to me. I'm
Because he
so
has
confused.
like the best, like the king of the weed dealers out there in San Francisco, growing some like crazy shit that no one else can
Jake,
get.
Jake, 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 Jake.
Yeah.
Step the fuck aside. This is my territory.
Yes, Brian, finally, go.
Yes, finally, I have some. Finally, there's something that you will listen to me about. I'm with Matt. Yeah, as good as the weed is on the, it don't fly across the country. Hold on, hold on. Major caveat. Unless they're like, oh, we have blunts on the plane, then by all means, fly across the country.
Oh man, I'm glad we have some expert opinions on this. This is good. So with all this considered, do we think he gets more than 300 million?
Sure. Yeah.
350?
About that. Like, I
Between
mean,
325 and 350.
Is there a reason why he should get more than Machado? Because I can't really think of one.
Bigger name, bigger
He's
brand,
white
maybe.
and has hair.
Yeah, I guess. I need Scott Boras as his agent, and Scott Boras is not
Is
Manny
a
Machado's agent.
the best agent who's ever lived, as far as
That's
baseball is concerned.
If I was the
Yeah.
GM and I was starting a team tomorrow, I'd rather have Harper than Machado.
Really?
Yeah. And the reason why is just because I think the offensive ceiling of Harper is like no one else in the game.
Oh, I disagree with
Other than
that.
Trout, other than Trout.
I'm shocked that you don't think that Mookie's offensive ceiling is as high as Harper's.
Mookie's an absolute stud, and I'll give you that. But like what he did that year that he had like 10 plus WAR, his OBP was Barry Bonds like for that year. That was crazy.
But Harper has shown a tendency to his slumps are bad, man. They're not. I'm not arguing his goodness or even greatness. I'm just talking about his like next level greatness. It's not even that I disagree that he's better than Machado. I just disagree that his ceiling is his ceiling for any given season is that high. I think that's the best way I could put it.
Yeah, I mean, I like Mookie a lot better as a player, but I just think that there are few people who can put together a season like he can.
I'm with you.
You're who's you?
Jake.
God damn it. I mean, I could let me put it this way. Could I see Harper hitting 80 home runs in a year? Yes. Okay, so now I get it. I hear
Not in the Bay Area, though. That
Bryce Harper
scares
can
me.
hit home runs
If Barry
anywhere.
Bonds had played in Coors or Yankee Stadium, the number would be so different.
A
It
thousand home
would be.
runs.
I think Yankee Stadium would have been worse, honestly. It would have been insane.
That's true though. He can he with the type of bat speed he has, he can crush him out of anywhere. It's not like he's gonna be held in. But cheapos.
He hits like monster home runs. He's not like a cheapy guy.
No. All right. So I think Philly too, and I think 335. Okay, listener questions. Matt Corey, good friend, former member of this podcast. Matt Corey asks our first question: who would we keep, Betts, Sale, or Bogarts? My answer is Betts and Bogey.
I mean, how many can we keep?
As many as you want.
I mean, obviously, I want to keep all three.
Agree with Matt.
Yeah, I mean, that would be ideal. Next one here, Fish Stripes. Our brother over there, our brother site at SB Nation.
It's really distant cousin.
Yeah, let's go with that. Distant cousin. They're
Wait,
making a
hold on. To be
prediction.
very, you know what? I'm not going to say that. Go ahead.
Prediction on Xander Bogaerts, and they want our take on this. So Xander Bogaerts, he'll have a shaky 2019, take a 20 qualifying offer to stay with the Red Sox, go bananas, and then sign with the Marlins in the next offseason, the 2021 offseason. Matt, what's your take on this madness?
I hate it. I admire their optimism, though.
I
If you're a
admire their
Marlins fan.
creativity. That's very creative.
When you're a Marlins fan, you gotta tell yourself things like this.
You know that this all came back to like the dude over there just thinking like, he wears number two and Jeter wore number two and he liked Jeter and I like Jeter.
It's very, if I know Fish Stripes as well as I think I know Fish Stripes, it's all very tongue in cheek.
I like the outside the box thinking though. It is very good. Scott Nadell has our next question. He says, I know Sale is a true ace, but do you think we should lock him up to that nagging shoulder? You know my take on this. You know these guys' take on this at this point. Is there anything left to say?
No.
Yeah, hold on. I have it. 2018 kicked ass. That was awesome. Don't forget how awesome that was. That was awesome. It was really awesome.
So dope.
It was great.
I really want that DVD. I still haven't gotten it yet. I need to rewatch all those things. I need
this
to relive the feels.
Hold on. So Jake, let's now just tie what I was talking about the Patriots to a sort of greater commentary. I am able to just click here. Oh, it did type in Patriots mic'd up. Boom. I'm watching 40 minutes of the worst game I've ever seen in my life turned into the fucking Hamlet. Come on, baseball. Let's go. Let's go.
Next one here comes from CJ Roberts, and it says, what's your feelings about labor negotiations? Think they'll work things out?
No.
Brian, you think there's going to be a strike?
Yes.
How come?
I mean, I feel like the owners are going to ensure that there's a strike. If it wasn't clear already, everyone is both sides are now resigned to it and acting like it's going to happen. So I think that it will, as Adam Wainwright said, I just hope it doesn't happen during the middle of the season. If it happens, I hope it happens after this year, before next season. But I'm fully confident that something is going to happen.
Matt, where are you at with this?
I mean, it's definitely going to get contentious. I'm not yet convinced it's going to cost them any games. But it's not great. And you can spend a whole podcast talking about this. I try not to go on too big of a tangent here, but the players are preparing for it. We saw it with Severino. I think it was Severino, not Nola. He front-loaded his extension like crazy because his agent told the Yankees that his client is pretty afraid of a strike, and so he wants his money in the first 2 years of the deal before that strike's going to happen, which is kind of scary. Players are ready for it. They're already putting money aside.
Matt, but Nola signed a similar contract. Do you think that it's implied that he signed it for the same reason?
I don't know the structure of that
deal.
He
was also bought out the Arbiers, which is a reason, I mean, that the player would want it.
Yeah, I mean, it's security and all that. It's not even the extension itself. It's just that he took more money in the first 2 years. Usually you backload those deals. Severino front-loaded it to get the money now in case he has to miss checks for a little bit. These guys are ready for it. I really hope that they can negotiate in good faith and actually put something together that works, because what they have going on right now between free agency and service time manipulation and all that other shit, it really sucks. And I hate that I have to think so much about the economics of baseball instead of just thinking about baseball itself.
Yeah, the fact that we're going to break the new year of 2019 with Vlad Guerrero Jr. still in the minor leagues because they want to get that extra year of control out of him is terrible. Terrible.
Oh, it's garbage. Jake, I just want to say one thing about that. Out of all the indignities that the baseball labor system inflicts upon fans and players, the one where people have to wait 2 weeks, I feel for the player in that sense that they get fucked for the year's sake. However, I don't care much about the fan that has to wait 2 weeks, and I think that there's a conflation there that I don't know. It's any player in any given year is gonna miss 2 weeks. I think that while it's egregious and it's obvious, and that to the Blue Jays' credit, they're not even denying it. at this point, why they're doing it. That
Well,
is
they can't
not,
come.
that has not bothered me as much as literally everything else has.
But
and that's
him,
just the note I wanted to get out there.
With him, though, it hasn't. It won't just be the 2 weeks. I mean, he should have been up last year. He was down
yeah, and
all
he's
of
the same
last
with
year.
Eloy Jimenez, too.
Right. Eloy is this exact same way. We're holding down the best young players. Imagine if the NBA did that. Imagine if, like, guys like Tatum, you know, came in
they
with the
used
Celtics
to.
and
They
played
did
with the Red
for years.
Claws.
They did for decades.
Yeah,
the
but that's
NBA.
Not good for the game.
I understand it's not good for the game, but we're talking about seasons that the NBA used to do it. They had to have people go through 4 years of college. We're talking about 2 weeks.
No, no, no.
2 weeks.
With these elite talents, we're talking about
I
more
understand.
Than that.
Look, I understand.
I get what you're saying, but I mean,
or
it's
two
still.
Weeks plus 3 months. Okay, and it's not good. Okay, I'm not arguing it's good. I agree with you on 95% of it, okay? That don't get. This is a small disagreement. The only disagreement I have is that, especially with players with whom this matters, absent a major injury, which is a reason it should not be this way, they will end up getting paid anyway. That's it.
The way I feel about labor negotiations, I will say, though, I am kind of hoping that a strike will happen only because I want it to fix baseball. And I think that labor negotiations have largely been good for the game over the history of the game. So I hope that the players are serious about digging their heels in and getting this thing fixed moving forward. And, like, I don't want any missed baseball, but I want
it
to be better.
If we get 25 years out of it, that's good, you know?
Yeah.
They better hope there's another McGuire and Sosa coming up then. Strike's going to be pretty brutal for
us. Then get your needles ready, baby.
Well, I mean, we got Vlad and Soto, so, and Acuna, so those, and Betts and Trout, so those are pretty good, right? Pretty good reasons
yeah,
to come back to the game.
Chase a record. I think a strike's going to be brutal for the game if it does happen.
Yeah, that's true.
It's going to be tough to recover from that.
Next question comes from Kawe Carnero, and he says, how much would JD command next offseason? This is tough. I haven't really thought about this, mostly because I've been blocking it out of my mind. Like, another 150? 150? Like, 5 years, 150? There's no way they do that, though, right?
Why wouldn't they?
Because then you're paying this guy till his, what, age 37 season?
I feel like if you're going to pay any type of player for that long, it's a DH. It's a guy who just straight mashes. I mean, the risk would be him losing his bat speed or whatever, but I don't really see that from JD.
No, I see him being a very productive hitter until... I feel like he's going to... he's better than Matt Holliday, but he'll sort of follow the. As long as he wants to stick around and hit, he'll be allowed to stick around and hit because he'll be able to, and he'll be able to do it at or near his peak level for 5 more years, hopefully for him. He's just one of the most talented people in the game, so that's a very helpful quality to have as a player.
I want him to have to renegotiate his deal every 2 years for a high money contract, just like David Ortiz.
I don't know if he wants that, but
I just think that's
say,
the Boston
I mean,
tradition.
I would say you just add on, you just tell him. Keep the contract you get now and we'll add on 2 more years at like the same 21 mil or whatever.
You think
and
you can do that?
Put another opt out.
I think it's entirely possible, honestly.
Yeah, I think he really
I
likes
think he likes
so
playing
for
the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think they should do whatever they can to keep him here. He's part of that core.
He's also the most fucking, like, Manny was him and Manny. But those two are the best right-handed hitters the Reds I've seen. I mean, the best. He was so good last year. It was so many things happened last year that even looking back at them individually, anyone individually, like just looking at JD Martin, he didn't win the MVP. Mookie won the MVP. His teammate did. And he was incredible. I'm in awe of last year's team. And I honestly think that this year's team could and maybe should win the World Series and would still live in the shadow of last year's team. But we'll see.
Yeah, 108 wins in the World Series is pretty damn good. And the way they steamrolled through the playoffs,
too. And just kicking the shit out of teams on the way.
Yeah, they really did. Next question comes from Trevor Latham, and he says, what's the health status of Marco Hernandez? I'll tackle this one. Last I heard for Marco Hernandez is that he's still recovering from the shoulder surgery and that it looks like he's going to be getting most of his reps in minor league baseball and probably will end up in extended spring training, I'd think, while he continues to get reps. So.
The only thing I'll add to that is if you have a subscription to The Athletic, Steve Buckley actually did a big feature on Marco Hernandez today, and it is fantastic, so I would highly recommend it.
So he is confirmed for extended spring?
He said that's his expectation, and then he'll move around the minors to rehab. But he says if everything goes well, he believes he can make the majors, obviously. I mean, that was kind of the theme of the whole piece was that he's optimistic and he's raring to go. So I hope he makes it back. He's fun.
Yeah, he's good. Got a little bit of pop. We like him. Next one comes from Jackson, who has heels with traction. Says, if you could have a cheese statue of one of the players in your house forever, who would you pick? He doesn't specify the type of cheese, which I feel
That's
like is extremely
add.
Important. Like, you want to have a hard cheese, like Manchego or something like that. Or maybe like a Parmesan. You don't want like...
Definitely Parmesan.
Yeah, because you shave a little bit
Except
off.
Except for
it's
delicious.
It.
I would just eat it. Or just bite it.
Well, I don't know. You might hurt a tooth if you're biting
Why
that
are we
thing.
Talking about cheese statues? Who wants to know about the cheese statue?
Jackson, who has wheels with traction, wants to know. I want a smaller one, so I'm going with Mookie Betts for my cheese statue. I don't want like a Jesus Aguilar's cheese statue or something like that.
I want Nate Eovaldi in like his set position in the windup where he has like his arms extended with the ball in the glove. I want that made out of cheese.
So like right before he throws cheese.
Sure. Okay, Eck. I didn't even put that together, but yeah, that would have been a better explanation than what I said.
An explanation.
Okay, well, that just sucks.
I just want a Blake Swihart made of cheese so I can have sex with it.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
Look, I'm just being honest, okay?
Next question. Frederick Ambrosino, a longtime listener of the show. Thank you for the question again, and thanks for staying with us. Says, how many Padres-Dodgers games before Joe Kelly and Manny Machado inevitably end up in the center of a giant brawl? I fucking love this question right here because...
Oh, this is so good.
I mean,
those two teams are going to hate each other this year, right?
It's the first game of the second series they play.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
That is so good. Question.
Oh, man, we're going to be staying up for way more West Coast games than we actually have to this year just to see this stuff.
This is a really big term here for staying up past 10 o'clock.
Yeah, that's awesome. Great, great work there.
Really, that is one of the better questions.
Yeah, one of the better questions we've gotten on this show. Robert Bouffard asks our last question. He says, are we getting too worried about guys like Xander and Mookie not having extensions, or is that definitely something that should be on our minds right now? Well, we covered Mookie. He's not going to do one, so let's not worry about him. And I mean, I think about Xander's extension a lot, but it's probably not going to happen.
I'd be fascinated if it did to see what it was. Because I just can't. I don't know how you balance like what he did last year, the fact that that's all what we kind of thought he was going to be eventually, but also the fact that he had only done it 1 year. I don't really know how you balance all those factors together for a contract, but I'd love to see what it looked like.
Strangely, I'm the exact opposite. I'm of the exact opposite school of thought. My school of thought is just, you saw it. That's him. That's what he's been in aggregate, and you saw it last year. That's it. And I don't think it's like it's a stretch case. I think it passes the eye test. It passes the smell test. It's like, oh, that's it. So I think that they have a pretty, from that, my guess, they have a pretty good idea of what they think his market is going to be. And yeah, that's my opinion, man.
So, I didn't get to say this before when we were talking about this, but I think it was a little bit telling that the owners of the Red Sox came out and did say that they admittedly screwed up the John Lester negotiations as early as spring training of that year, which we've all known for forever. But like just that they're publicly admitting that right now. And if they came up to Xander with an offer like 6 years, 160, which is still a pretty substantial offer, I don't think there's any way he could take that as like an insulting or a lowball offer. I think that he would think very hard about taking 6 and 160 in this market.
It could, but also, I mean, I don't know Xander Bogaerts. I don't know how his brain works, but I mean, if you are somebody, if he's like supremely confident in himself and he gets that offer, I don't think he'd be insulted, but I think he'd also be like, yeah, I'm gonna go do exactly what I did last year and I'm gonna blow that offer out of the water on the open market. Which is why I think this his extension case is so interesting.
Yeah, it's possible. I just don't think he's done enough to put himself in the Machado conversation at this point.
Well, that's what I'm. That's I don't
Oh,
think so
he's
either.
not Machado.
No, I mean he'll never be Machado. He doesn't have the defense for Machado.
Machado's a Hall of Famer. I mean, let's just call it like it is.
X is a good player though, so we'll
He's a
see.
very good player. Machado is going to the Hall. I mean, he's 26, and I can tell you right now he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Not without a ticket right now.
Not without a ticket right now, but I went with a ticket, so I have been to the Hall of Fame. So I'm in the Hall of Fame.
Nice. All right. That has been our show. If you enjoyed listening to the show, go on and
You're
subscribe to
demented.
us. You can do that on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you get podcasts. Give us a rate and review there. Give us 5 stars. Tell Brian what you think about him. Tell me what you think about me. Tell Matt he's great.
Keep it to yourself about me.
If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can go on Twitter and follow Matt at Matt R.Y. Collins. You can follow Brian at Brian Joiner, Brian with a Y, Joiner with an I. You can follow me on Twitter at Dev Jake, and most importantly, you can follow the Red Sox account, or the Over the Monster account, I should say, at Over the Monster, but also follow the Red Sox account if you don't
Yeah, the
already.
Red Sox guy is pretty good.
Yeah, these guys do a good job. I mean, they're no Indians or Rockies, but they're a pretty good account. Yeah, that's our show. So hope you enjoyed listening to it, and we'll be with you next time.
Bye-bye.